In the name of Lord Jesus, I speak. We shall continue with our study on the sacraments of the foot washing. As we all know, foot washing sacrament is one of the three sacraments of the true Jesus Church. I think the reason for this institution to be called the sacraments is because of the reasons we talked about yesterday, and because first of all, the Lord Himself has demonstrated it. Secondly, the Lord has commanded His disciple to perform it, and also we find that all these three sacraments actually are concerned with our salvation, right? Now, obviously, I think the true Jesus Church is quite unique in the sense that, you know, this is one of the sacraments that we practice, and yet we don't find, you know, many churches, other Christian denominational churches, practice it, right? Now, I think if you have been talking to Christians from other denominations, you must have, or you would have realized that, you know, not many churches actually practice this. Right. Now, there are questions that I have, you know, listed down. Actually, there are quite many questions. Starting from page 2. Okay, page 2. Okay, here we can see that there are some questions raised to actually invalidate, okay, if I can put it that way, invalidate the necessity of washing the feet of the new converts. Like what I said before, these are the questions raised not by people out with the church. Very sadly, actually these questions, I get it from within the community of faith. So what I'm going to do is I'm going to go through them with you. If you want to know a bit more in depth, probably you can read through the handout yourself. Okay. Now, you know, one of the reason given to invalidate foot washing is that because they said foot washing was instituted before the suffering of Christ, meaning before the downpour of the Spirit. As we know that, you know, the church was only established when the Spirit came on the day of Pentecost, right? So, and they said that this foot washing is to enable a person to have a part in Jesus, meaning to have a part in the church. And so for that reasons, you find that, you know, what Jesus has done actually is not necessary, and the main reason for Jesus to do that is to bring out the virtues, yeah, of Christ, like humility, servitude, being forgiving, you know, being forbearing, you know, stuff like that. Now I want you to read Hebrews. Yeah, we turn to the book of Hebrews. Now the point I would like to raise is that, you know, the church actually consists of two parts, all right? And the first is the church in heaven, all right? And the other one is the physical church, which consists of you and I. Now, I want you to read chapter 12, Hebrews chapter 12, yeah? We read verse 22, Hebrews chapter 12, verse 22 and verse 23. But you have come to Mount Zion and to the city of the living God, the heavenly Jerusalem, to an innumerable company of angels, to the general assembly and church of the firstborn, who are registered in heaven, to God the judge of all, to the spirit of just men made perfect. Okay, now here we find that the writer or the author first mentioned about, you know, the believers then, those who were still alive, physically, you know, that, you know, they had come to Mount Zion, right? And that is the city of the living God, that's the church, right? And so, these people who have been baptized into Christ, they formed the church. But within the context here, we know that the writer also mentioned about the spirit of just men made perfect. You see, find that in the spiritual realm, you know, the church actually includes those who are saved in the ancient time. Alright? Now, that's why you find that when Jesus instituted the foot washing sacrament, actually the church was already in heaven, was already there. Alright? The church has already existed. Now, I want you to read that to substantiate what I just said. We're going to turn to Ephesians, turn to the book of Ephesians, chapter 5, yeah? Ephesians chapter 5, I want you to read verse 25, yeah? Verse 25, chapter 5, verse 25. Husband, love your wives just as Christ also loved the church and gave himself for her. Now here we find that, yeah, this, according to Paul, the sacrifice of Christ was directly prompted, you know, by his love for the church. You need to understand that if Christ has not died, then both the ancient saint and the future generation, that is the apostolic church and the believers in our time, would perished. Right? So you find that, you know, Christ's sacrifice is for both period of time. I mean, people in these two period of time. Okay, that's why he said, you know, it's like, you know, Christ's sacrifice is because of the church. So it's prompted. Okay, now so. We need to understand this, okay? You know, if you look at the three sacraments, right? Three sacraments. When you look at baptism, when Jesus asked John to baptize him, did that happen after his resurrection? When did that happen? When John asked him, has he been raised already, or he was still in the flesh? Still in the flesh, isn't it? Okay. When he performed foot washing sacrament, that was before his crucifixion, am I right? Yeah? When you look at the institution of the Holy Communion, again, that was before his crucifixion, am I right? Now, if you look at the Holy Communion sacrament, you know when Jesus consecrated the bread, he said, that is my body. And when he consecrated the cup and he said, that is my blood, at that point in time, he had not died yet. He had not sacrificed himself yet. Okay? Now, what has made caused all this to fall neatly in place is the Holy Spirit. Okay? Now, so with the presence of the Holy Spirit, yeah, you find that, yeah, when we partake of the Holy Communion, we truly partake of His flesh and His blood. Okay? That's why, you know, it is the Spirit that makes the difference, right? Now, so the institution, whether it is done before the death of Jesus or after the death of Jesus, is irrelevant, to be honest. Today we have the presence of the Spirit that can cause all things to fall neatly in place. Okay, right, now we move on to the next one. It's in 1, 2, 3, 4, the fourth paragraph under some question to answer. Okay, the fourth paragraph. Now, you know, some people also said, you know, if you look at the apostolic church, you know, like on the day of Pentecost, 3,000, you know, people were baptized, and then it follows by 5,000. And the Samaritan believers, actually, you know, if you have read through the book of Acts, yeah, you understand that, you know, many people were added to the church on a daily basis. So the question is, there's not even a single account which says that their feet, yeah, were washed. Right? Now it seems that to emphasize so much on foot washing is not very practical, yeah, and is not very biblical as well, because the disciple, as far as Acts of the Apostle is concerned, it seems did not perform foot washing. Okay, now I think there are 2 points, yeah, that we need to bear in mind. I want you to first read John. Turn to John chapter 14. Yeah? John chapter 14. We read verse 26. Right? John chapter 14, verse 26. But the Helper, the Holy Spirit, whom the Father will send in my name, he will teach you all things and bring to your remembrance all things that I said to you. Now, you know that in chapter 13, yeah, Jesus gave the instruction to the disciple what? To carry out this institution, this sacrament, am I right? So, with the coming of the Spirit, right? And that actually reinforces what Jesus has said to them. Meaning, the Spirit would help them, yeah, to carry out what? Foot washing. Because with the presence of the Spirit would bring to their remembrance what Jesus has said and has instructed to them. So in this case, foot washing is without exception. Yeah? Yeah. Now, you can see the faithfulness of the what? Of the disciples. They would even risk their life, yeah, just to preach Christ, you know, just to preach about his resurrection. Right? They would not have forgotten about what Christ has told them, yeah, in this case concerning foot washing. Right? Now I want you to read another verse, 1 John, and see what John said about the instruction of Jesus and how they comply, right, to the instruction or to what they have been given. Now I want you to read the 1 John chapter 1. Right, we read verse 3. Yeah? Now obviously verse 1 and verse 2 talk about the words of life, yeah, the words of life being Jesus himself who manifested in the flesh. Okay, now verse 3. Now that which we have seen and heard, we declare to you that you also may have fellowship with us, and truly our fellowship is with the Father and with his Son, Jesus Christ. Right? Now, quite clearly, John is saying that, you know, whatever the apostle have seen with their eyes or have heard with their ears, they declare to the believers. Okay? Now, you cannot rule out the fact that, you know, the declaration here includes what? Foot washing, or the teachings of foot washing, or the practice of foot washing. You cannot deny that. Okay? Now, so, because as we have said before, you know, the they were faithful believers of God. Right? They were faithful believers of God. Okay, now we look at another questions that I have listed down for you. Look at the last paragraph of the same page. Yeah? Some people say salvation is instantaneous. Okay, and this idea is based on John chapter 5, verse 24. So I define what instantaneity means, willingness to accept the teachings of Jesus without any delay. Now, if you compare, okay, I make a comparison here. If you compare baptism and foot washing, which one is easier? Which one is easier? I mean, in terms of doing it, which one is easier? Foot washing, obviously. You can do it in the room. But for baptism, probably you have to walk, you know, a certain distance before you can reach there, you know, reach a place where there's water. Okay? Now, that's why you find that, yeah, if we say that baptism is so important and it's closely related to this, what we call instantaneous salvation is instantaneous, then we should all the more, well, perform foot washing as well. Okay? You find that, you know, when people don't agree with certain, obviously, doctrine, they would come out with, you know, all sort of things to invalidate it. Okay, now, the next one, I think is a bit more technical. Okay, now I think I have listed down already, yeah? Because the argument is based on what we call the use of prepositional differential, like with, like in, that kind of thing. Okay, so if you read John chapter 13, read John chapter 13. Now, please read John chapter 13. Now, verse 8, right? Verse 8. Now, this is the NKJV version. And I believe that this is the more accurate translation of the original text. Okay. Now, verse 8. Peter said to him, "You shall never wash my feet." Jesus answered him, "If I do not wash you, you have no part with me." Okay. Now, we are saying that, you know, you need to have part in Jesus. Yeah, but here it says you have no part with Jesus Christ, right? Now, obviously, you know, if you, I don't think you have read that argument anyway. It's not very important. Okay, I think one of the verses used by the person concerned, I can't remember which verse. I need to look at it. Yes, chapter 14. Look at chapter 14. Okay, now, verse 17, yeah? The Spirit of truth, whom the world cannot receive, because it neither sees him nor knows him, but you know him, for he dwells with you and will be with you. Okay, and will be with you, yeah? Now, so, according to the person, he said that the first part of "for he will dwell with you" is in the present tense, which means that Jesus was talking about the existing relationship between the Holy Spirit and the disciple. And then he said later on, the Spirit what? Will live in the disciple. Okay? Now, quite clearly, Jesus is not talking about the Holy Spirit, you know, living, you know, with the disciple, like side by side, that kind of thing. He's not talking about that. He was talking about himself. Right? Because in the Spirit, Jesus is the Holy Spirit. Okay? So the physical Jesus was with them. Now, we know that the Spirit would only come and live in them after Christ has been raised and after he has ascended back to heaven. Alright? So, to me, I think that is an inaccurate quotation used to back up the idea. Okay. Now, if you look at other verses, yeah? Other verses, okay? Like, for example, I want you to read John 14. Verse 16, okay? John 14, verse 16. "And I will pray the Father, and he will give you another helper, that he may abide with you forever." Okay, here it talks about what? The coming of the Holy Spirit, yeah? And it said, he will abide with you forever. Does it mean that the Spirit will only be with us like what Jesus was with the disciple when he was in the flesh? No. Okay? Now, to abide with us obviously means what? To live in us. Okay, so the conclusion is, we should not use just like, you know, a preposition, you know, to define a doctrine. And that is not a right way to do. Okay, now, obviously, There is a further argument given. I want you to look at the set of principle given there. Right? Now look at the 4 points. Yeah, the last argument is based on a set of principles stipulated to determine whether a doctrine comes from the Lord. Okay, so the person says, for a doctrine to be acceptable, first it must be spoken by the Lord Jesus Christ. Now, obviously, foot washing was spoken by Jesus Christ. Right? Is it not true? In John chapter 13. And also, sometimes you find that there are things that, you know, that the Bible talks about, like in the time of the apostle, Jesus has already ascended back to heaven. So you realize that, you know, the decision did not come from the physical Jesus anymore. The decision actually came from the Holy Spirit, like in the case of the conference in Jerusalem. Okay, now the second, it must be taught and practiced by the apostles. Now obviously, you know, the two verses that I've shown you, in John chapter 14 and in 1 John chapter 1, quite clearly the disciple must have what? Talk about what Jesus has said. Because first, the coming of the Holy Spirit would help them to remember what Jesus has said. Secondly, according to John, Elder John, whatever they have seen with their eyes, heard with their ears, they did not fail to declare to what? To the believers, to ensure that they have a fellowship with Jesus Christ. Okay, now the third principle actually is not an accurate one, because it talks about, you know, Paul actually gave what an outline for the church to discipline those who do not obey, to correct the wrongdoers, basically, right? Now, so these are some of the things that you can look into when we come to the foot washing sacraments. Okay, now, do you have any questions about this? Yes, on foot washing. Okay, now maybe we can show you something now, because it seems that I believe that you need to know about this as well, because it's like, you know, the foot washing teachings has gone through a process of development. Okay, let's look at what it is. Okay, in order to understand, I actually copied directly from the Holy Spirit time. Right, this is a resolution given in 1932. Right, 1932. Okay, and to see whether they have changed the teachings of the foot washing since 1932. Okay, the Chinese is the original. I translated it, okay, into English to help you understand it better. Now, do you think the resolution in the year 1932 is not the same as the practice of the church today? If you look at it very carefully, right? Now, so here it goes. According to the Bible, that is John 13, verse 1 to verse 17, prior to holding of the Holy Communion sacraments, an ordained worker of God should invoke the name of Jesus and wash the feet of a newly baptized person. And this action imitates Christ's example to us to be humble and to love one another. If you look at the resolution very carefully, there's no contradictions to what we are doing right now. It is exactly the same. Right? Now, more importantly, if you look at the last part of the resolution, this is the TROC resolution. Okay, the last part of the resolution is, this action, meaning foot washing, imitate Christ's example to us. Yeah? And to be humble and love one another. Okay? Exactly the same. Alright? Now, you need to understand, you know, during the TRC discussion, okay, let me paint you a picture first and give you an idea how the TRC conferences are held in the TJC. Right? Now, for example, you know, if I have a question, I raise a question, then obviously I will send the question to whoever the in charge, you know, might be. And so he will what? He will distribute my questions, you know, to all the committee members, and they will spend time, you know, analyzing, you know, my questions or whatever. And then, you know, like the committee will select people to come up with certain papers, right, to write about the subject. Okay? And then during the conference itself, you'll find that, yeah, they would discuss. Okay? They would discuss. Now, the main point I would like you to understand is this, yeah? The main point I would like you to understand is this. During the discussions, things can be said, right? Things can be said, right? Now, you see, whatever is said, yeah, they will write down, but that is not the resolution. 你为什么要拍照? 我可以寄给你, 你为什么拍照? Why do you want to do that? Okay. You know, what is discussed, okay? What is discussed is not equal to the resolution. Okay? You need to make this clear. We can discuss anything, but that is not the resolution. 我们说什么场记嘛,在场记录的话, you know, the records during the conference is different from the what? Resolution itself. Okay, now, Matthew, if you have a question, you can raise. You're free to raise. I would like to answer your questions. You're free to raise.
So this is the resolution of the TJC?
Yes, this is what I copy. Unless I copy wrongly. Is that not the resolution? No, tell me if I copy wrongly, then I should let the class know, sorry, I've copied wrongly. Yes.
So that time there's no difference about the laws and the result.
No. That's why I said you shouldn't be looking at things that have been discussed. Or, you know, every time when they discuss, they record down things. But what you should be focusing on is the resolution. Okay? Like, even at present, when we have TRC conferences, okay, we go through a lot of discussion, even debating among ourselves. Well, but after discussion, you know, we'll come up with a resolution. Right? That is the thing that we should follow. Right? That is the resolution. That's what I said, unless I've copied wrongly, then tell me. That's why I said, forget about the north and the south, how they discuss. What is important is the resolution. It's not the discussion itself. You get what I'm saying? People can say anything during the discussion. But what is important is this one. Yeah? No, be free. I'm open. If I'm wrong, I say sorry. I said I've copied wrongly. I'll repent. Can someone turn on the light, please? Thank you.
In the beginning, how we dealt with this is not my basic answer. Because all we have not been told is that the elder told all three of all, and he was received the revelation from God.
Revelation. You know, thank God about you know the history of the True Jesus Church. To be honest, it's not very clear, you know. To be honest, it's not very clear. I think it goes to show that, yeah. Because this is the Church of God, yeah. Why do we need history for what? And the history of the True Jesus Church does not form part of the scriptures. There's no need for that, as far as I'm concerned. Right? Now, the most important thing is that all the basic belief up to this point in time, they remain the same. Right? That's why, because of this 1932 resolution, okay? You know, because I don't want to go into this, the North and the South, they discuss different things, you know, stuff like that. But the main thing is, the resolution is this. Right? Now, you know, I think this is very important, yeah? Now, apart from this, yeah? When you look at the teachings of the doctrine of the what? Of the Bible, yeah? We need to understand that it has to be passed down from one generation to another. We should not think that it has gone through a process of evolution or whatever. It's not true. It's definitely not true. I can send you the things that I've written if you want. No problem, I can send it to you if you're keen. Okay? You get what I'm saying? Because the truth does not evolve, because we receive directly from God. Alright, now, so, again, class, you know, if, when we talk about, how can I put it to make it clearer, alright? Now, okay, now, put it this way, sometimes you find that my explanation, let's say, on baptism, may be very, or maybe slightly different from, said, from another minister, okay? But you find that, you know, it may be different, you find that it does not contradict what? The belief of the church, that's the main thing. In fact, sometimes I might add on a lot of other things, but to try to explain what? The doctrine clearer. You get what I'm saying? Right? Now, you know, if the truth is like a theory that evolved, then I question myself, what is the point of believing in the basic belief right now? Because after 10 years, after 20 years, I know that the truth or the basic doctrine would be changed. Okay, I can agree with you only to only on the condition that, yeah, if whatever is understood later on, yeah, must be on the same foundation. You get what I'm saying? Right? You cannot and you must not, after 10 years, and you come and tell the church, foot washing is not needed. Right? If that's the case, then where is the foundation? You shift the foundation. Right? Maybe up to this point in time, okay, there may be an aspect of the, let's say, foot washing, I'm not able to explain very convincingly. Right? Now, the next generation, you know, and by the grace of God, you are given more knowledge, so you can explain it better and make it clearer, but on the same foundation. You deepen the existing understanding. Right? Hallelujah. Go on.
The first one is, you say the doctrine is passed by one generation to another.
Yes.
Generation. But I have read some article that actually it's like to describe to least the revolution that Paul Weibo have received from. And some of them is actually like some rule that don't
That's what I said, okay? That's what I said. You know when you... I'm not sure, should it be recorded? No, the thing is this, okay? The thing is, you know that now, even in China, you know, churches from his line are not exactly pure now. You know that. Okay? That's why you cannot base your belief on historical records. You understand what I'm saying? Right? You base it on the Bible. What I have done here is just to prove to you that this is what the resolution is or was in the year 1932. Obviously, they have this debate over, you know, the necessity of foot washing. Obviously, you know, they came up with a lot of ideas. But the important thing is not what they have discussed. The important thing is the resolution. Is it okay? Go on, you've got one more question. You have exhaust your question before I continue.
It's
a what?
It's a later, like Luke, they brought to
you. Oh, you. Go on. Yeah.
So I just wonder what if food washing is so important and concerned to the revolution and the salvation, then why just only
Okay, let me put it this way, okay? If I have understood you correctly, okay. My brain is a bit slow nowadays. Now I would like to use Mark 16, yeah? 16 to answer you. Right? He who believes and is baptized shall be saved, yeah? Shall be saved. Now, you know when a person believes, yeah? Not only he believes in Jesus, am I right? He also believes in the gospel. Now my question is, does the gospel end with baptism? No, it goes on. Like what? Foot washing, Holy Communion, is it also? And then, keeping the commandments. That's beliefs. We've explained before, this is a whole package. And baptism is the starting point for you to enter into salvation. That's why baptism is mentioned. It's crucial. If you only stop at beliefs, yeah, then you find that your belief is incomplete. And this kind of belief leads you to no way. That's why when Jesus said, he who believes and is baptized, not only he is saying, one must believe in him, one must also believe in all the teachings, yeah, which he taught, and which the apostle taught as well. Right? Is that okay? Right. Any question, feel free to ask. I'm happy to answer. If I can, I do my best. Okay, go on.
Most questions that using general philosophical tool, through the different questions that the supper being ended, that's what the Bible says. So I think this supper is nothing to do with the Holy Communion. It's not a Holy Communion.
But I thought it's the foot washing first, and then the Holy Communion.
Yeah, so I think in John 13, verse 2, that supper is the Holy Communion.
After it's not the Holy Communion.
So Jesus conducted the Holy Communion after the supper.
Yes. Yeah. It's not the Holy Communion. I think it's a good question, yeah. I think I did it before. I could not remember. I cannot remember where to find the verses to back up. Actually, it's the food washing first, and then it came Holy Communion. I think we need to look into Matthew. Yes.
Other situations when, like, let's say there's no need for being worker now,
You know, like in the church yesterday, I think I did answer questions. You know, the church is the body of Christ, and Christ has put order in the church. That's why everything must be done in an orderly manner. You know, sometimes for example, in a newly pioneered area, there may be no ordained workers, but the church can actually send someone to do it. Like, you know, if I want to send Brother A, you know, and I will lay hand on him and say to him that, you know, on this occasion, please perform water baptism, please perform foot washing sacrament, and also Holy Communion sacrament. Yeah? Please only do once. After that, don't do it again. You get what I'm saying? Right? Is that okay? But any further question on foot washing, please feel free to ask. You know, I think if this is not cleared out from your mind, it can be, to me, you know, anything that can cause you to doubt the doctrines is like yeast. Right? That's why I said I'm open to questions. Ask any question you want. If I cannot answer, I'll get, you know, other ministers to help you. Simple as that. I'm not too sure myself. You know, I only saw this resolution on one of the articles. It's actually from, I think, the fifth issue 58, Holy Spirit Time, something like that. Is there? No, I just want to prove the point that the foot washing sacrament has not gone through an evolutionary process. Right? You know, in the year 1932, you know, it stated that, you know, it has to be done. Yeah, and according to the scriptures, likewise today we do the same as well. And that's why you see, if you look at it, prior to holding of the Holy Communion sacrament, right, today we do the same. Is it also? Yeah. So when we have performed baptism, yeah, we come back to the church, we wash the feet of the new converts first, and then followed by Holy Communion sacraments. That's the order. Okay, I still got a few minutes for you to ask questions before we take a break. Sisters, very quiet question. No? Do you? Okay.
So if someone just happened to come back, water baptism, but not too much, is
Now, I think, why does the church not perform foot washing on?
And I heard this case in Taiwan. Yeah. Because in the uptown technology,
these are like exceptional cases. There's nothing much we can do about it. Right? To me, I think the wrong is with the church. Wrong is with the church. You know, the church should have made it very clear that please don't run away after baptism. Don't go home and go and eat your dinner or whatever. You know, I think the same thing happened in Kenya. I think, is it also? I think there are two cases or whatever. We grab them and wash their feet. Yes. So you have to do. Yes. I think what we need to look at the validity of this of the foot washing sacrament. You know, foot washing sacrament has its rightful place, yeah, in terms of salvation. It saves. Okay. Any other questions? You know, this morning I read you the chapter. Okay, I just want to remind you again. If you look at 2 Thessalonians, now it's something that I forgot to mention this morning. I want you to compare. Yeah? I want you to compare verse 2 and verse 15. Okay. Not to be soon shaken in mind or troubled, either by spirit or by word or by letter, as if from us as though the day of the Lord of Christ has come. Now, verse 15, therefore, brethren, stand fast and hold the what? Traditions which you were taught, whether by words or our epistle. Can you see the contrast? Now, the thing is, if you do not hold on to the traditions, yeah, which you have been taught, then you will be troubled. I'm very sure. You may not say it out, but in your mind, in your heart, you are troubled. Hey. You know, the church has been preaching the gospel for so many years already. This is the faith that we need to have in the teachings of the church, especially with regards to the basic belief of the church. You need to hold on. And then God will give you wisdom to understand. Okay? You know, to me, this requires a lot of faith. That's why during the RE training, and I did mention a verse, isn't it? Paul says, you need to rely on the Spirit that dwells in you to keep the pattern. Because it's not easy anymore. Alright, now if you look at verse 2 again, he said, by spirit or by words or by letter, or meaning by a person or by a certain force or by sermons or by, you know, writing can disturb you. Right? If you don't hold on, you'll be disturbed, definitely. Surely. You know, the scripture speaks for itself, yeah? That's why Paul said, you hold on to the traditions of the church. Right? And to me, this is a sacramental tradition that you cannot do away with. You cannot. If you hold on, then you begin to see the reasons why you need to keep it. Yeah? And you begin to understand how important it is for us to perform foot washing. unless you don't believe that this is the Church of God any longer. That is another story. If this is the Church of God, then we hold on to the traditions. Right? That's why I say, if you have questions, I'm more than willing to answer you, to be honest. I may not be able to answer you adequately. I can get my co-workers to help. Right? That's the one. I send it to you, no problem.
Is this the last one, last time our TRC discussed this worship? I think we discussed it even recently. So probably the one that we should come from.
You know, the most recent one is this.
Is it recent?
No, I mean the resolution is exactly the same.
Oh, the same.
So we have
back to the
come back to the original.
Oh,
that's the one. You know, there are different ideas. Yeah, when you come to like baptism, okay. You know, I received a picture. Someone sent it to me. You know, in the early days of the church, people baptized like this. You serious? Okay. To be, you know, it's no point. Class, I know it's very exciting, okay, but please listen to me first. I know it's very exciting. No, the thing is, it's better for me to let you know about history, because now everyone try to dig into history, right? Now there is an answer to this. Don't worry, there's an answer to this. It's like this. Imitate the death of Christ. But later on it has been corrected. It shouldn't be like this. So that's why it's like a evolution. So talk about it. Any more questions? Okay, if not, then say a silent prayer.